podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Chatting to a mutual mate of ours.
Mm.
She's 22-ish.
Mutual mate of ours?
Yeah. Okay. Don't think about it too much because it's anonymous. But she's around 22, 23 and single and out there, you know? And
we
I think it's
know.
Great.
Any-
Just go with it. Okay, I'll tell you.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, okay, is that a big deal? Are you glad we got bogged down in it?
Yep.
Stupid. Anyway, so she's 22, 23, single, ready to mingle, and obviously it's like the world has changed a lot. And she didn't ask for my advice, but I was like, come here to Auntie Log.
Sit on my knee.
Let's talk about it.
See how you can do that, but if I said come sit on Uncle Tom's knee, then it's weird, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Anyway, so she was like, yeah, you know, it's hard now. I'm like, oh, I was chatting to her. I'm like, you go out though, don't you? She's like, yeah, I'm out all the time, you know, and on the apps.
Sorry,
and
22 is Gen Z? Yeah, that is, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is Gen Z because then there's Gen Alpha. So then it's like, okay, I'm like, so you're hitting up the clubs or whatever. I'm like, what's like the weekend like? And, you know, a lot of the young'uns, whatever, don't drink anymore, which is totally fine.
Mm.
And I think that's good and they're healthy
the
and they're, yeah. They're healthy and everything and that's great. But I said to her, oh, you know when you go to the club and like you're dancing and I'm like, and then you kind of make eyes at someone. I'm like, that used to be my move, right? So I would make eyes at someone. Yeah, mate, I don't want to do it on you. I don't want to do it on you right now. Nah, but it works.
Half of that. Stop making your shoulders
it didn't,
like that.
Look, I'll tell you this much. I know what I am. So from a distance and dark lighting, perfect.
Can we just quickly, let me turn the lights off. Hang on.
No, don't turn the lights off. Okay, go turn the lights off. Anyway, so back in the day, I like this. We're in the dark. So back in the day, you'd be at the bar, right? And I'd be dancing. Right, and then I'd look over.
So I'm sorry, I'm just here sipping my vodka cranberry.
I don't know if I can look here. So then I'd look over, and then I do the look back again.
And you make the double eye contact. You're like, hey, that chick's looking at me.
Yeah. Then the hair flick, right? And then you just show them your back.
Yeah.
Right. You show them your back.
Oh.
And then eventually, what would happen?
Yeah.
Right.
Rear
you're quadrant. On the dance floor, and then okay, let's set the scene.
Yeah.
All right. So we're on the dance floor, we're dancing. It's a bit of this action, right? Right?
It's aggressive.
And then I'm just like, I keep looking over my shoulder like.
Ah, yeah.
And then they would come behind you.
Yeah, right.
And they'd kind of be, and then you'd be like, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'd kind of get the hands around the waist and you'd be like, oh,
right.
we're
away. Yeah,
right?
Okay.
We're away.
Yeah.
We're away.
Right.
And then it's like, let's get a drink. Yeah, sweet, right? But that's not a thing.
What?
Stop the music. Yeah, that doesn't, no. She's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, what? That's not. She's like, no, you don't go up to people on the dance floor. I'm like, what?
What do you mean?
Yeah, no, that's not. Gen Z don't do that way. No.
What they do? Send a friend request first or something?
Yeah. Basically, it's like, hey, Snapchat. Or I don't even know Snapchat, like TikTok.
You got
like
a QR code.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. They don't do that. Obviously, I'm talking consent, right? And consent,
obviously
right? Yeah. If someone touched me on the dance floor and I didn't want it, they would get, you know what they would get.
Yeah.
But I'm talking, when you give the eyes and you give the hair and then they come over and we're, ooh,
there's a difference.
It's gone.
There's a difference between sexy eye and lazy eye.
Yeah, there is, right? But the other thing is, we used to do a lap. Do you remember doing a lap of the club? Like
you
walk
when you
in
get there,
when you're
you do,
single.
Yeah.
I was like predator. I was like,
I was never that.
And then you do not a predator the character.
That's what I just saw. When you say predator, I just want to make sure everyone knows I was never that.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
There's no way the Bells is bigger than Waimea, bro. That ain't true.
We'll prove you wrong next week.
We will indeed.
Yes.
No, I feel really bad. Now I feel really cringe because I know who we're talking to and I just feel like that's the most cringest thing I could have said.
Well, we're very excited. You do get cringy when you get excited, so that's fine.
I love getting in the green room, mate. You know me.
You do. I know you do. I know you do. It is the Rip Curl Pro returns next week for this year. It's the opening round of the World Surf League.
Yep.
And the man in charge of Asia Pacific is Andrew Stark. He joins us on the line now. Good morning.
Morning. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Busy time for you, my friend.
Mm.
Yeah, it sure is. We're getting excited. The World Tour is going to kick off again in Australia and at the famous Bells Beach next week.
This is so special for us here. I mean, what an icon for us and our area. And 50 years, it must be nice having a look through all the memorabilia and remembering all the good times of the last 50, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. There's just so many historical moments and legends and icons, and, you know, a lot of them are actually coming to Bells Beach for the Rip Curl Pro to celebrate 50 years of the World Surf League and 50 years of crowning world champions. So it's a really exciting time for the sport, and we're definitely really excited about the celebrations we're going to have down there at Bells Beach.
Can you give us some of the names that are coming down, or is it kind of a secret and they're just going to kind of pop up when they pop up?
Well, you know, a lot of the former world champs are coming, like Lane Beachley's coming to town, and Mick Fanning, and, you know, even the greats like Rabbit Bartholomew and PT and Kelly Slater, and, you know, so Pam Burridge is coming, and Wendy Both is coming. You know, there's a lot of the old-time legends of the sport. But then a lot of the current world champs, you know, Carissa Moore's coming back on tour after having a baby, and Steph Gilmore's coming back on tour, and Gabrielle Medina's back, and, you know, you're going to have a lot of the greats, and obviously, you know, Molly Picklam, our current world champion from Australia, will be there. So there's actually over 20 world champion surfers that will be in town for. We have the big 50-year celebration awards on Sunday night, which is a private dinner that celebrates the 50 years and also the world champions, and then leading into the championship tour training day on Tuesday, where we're having our music celebration, and then the main event, you know, heat start on the 1st on Wednesday.
Yeah, it goes through to the 11th. But let's talk about that Tuesday afternoon, because we want people to get down to Bells Beach early, because there's the training that you can watch, and then the band start at 4.
Yeah, that's right. So what Tuesday's about is CT training day, where the surfers get to go out and really, you know, start training for their heats and so on in the water, and crowds can come and watch it. But what we're also doing is a celebration moment to really open the world tour for the year, and at the Rip Curl Pro. So we've got two great bands, Australian bands. Wolfmother is playing at 4 o'clock, and then Spider Bait at 5:45 on site. So it is a free concert. So we really want to sort of celebrate with the community and so on. But it will, you know, given the sensitivities of that area. The same applies to the Rip Curl Pro. When we're full, we have to shut the gate. So once we hit 3,000 people in the venue, we're going to shut. So we do ask the people if they want to come to the concert, get there early, and once it's full, that they're really respectful. You know, we'll put up VMS signs around Torquay and our socials and so on, the same way we do when the event's full. So, you know, over Easter, our event fills up and we get to capacity and we have to shut the gates and close the road into there, and we'll do the same thing. But we're really excited about the music opportunity and hope the community can come down and enjoy.
Look, Andrew, that's really good that you mentioned that, because there have been a lot of concerns from locals who are like, okay, we want to protect that pristine area. If it's just a free-for-all, how do we know it's not going to get ruined? So that's cool that it's actually been thought about, talked about, and there's things in place to stop that from happening.
Yeah, and we've put it on midweek, and you know, it's on a Tuesday afternoon. It's not holidays or anything. It's in daylight hours. You know, we've got obviously additional resources from security and policing and all the rest of it. And you know, what we're very used to doing is actually that venue gets full over Easter. And, you know, we for many years have been managing the venue when it gets to capacity, and we have to close the gates and tell people they can't come, and what the communication strategy is, and, you know, how we notify people. So it'll be the same. You know, we hope that we'll get, you know, that 3,000 people there to enjoy the music on Tuesday. And but the same thing will happen over Easter. Sometimes the event gets really popular and the waves are pumping and everyone wants to come down and watch surfing, and the event fills up and we have to, you know, put into place our closure program, which we're used to doing. So, you know, in the community, you know, they know that the event fills up and the road gets closed and the car park gets full. And so I think if everyone can be respectful that, hey, once this is full, please don't try and come in, the same way it would be if the surfing's on and it's full as well. But, you know, obviously a midweek and an afternoon, we do hope people come down and be respectful about the environment and follow all the rules and regulations that are in place and really listen to all the staff on site.
Great message. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just quickly, we had the lead singer of Shine Down on the show earlier, and he was busy hand signing, autographing 25,000 different albums, copies of their album. You are the president of the World Surf League Asia Pacific. You've got five sleeps until competition time, until heats start. Are you just madly waxing surfboards? You're like a roll your sleeves up kind of guy. Get in there, you know, your little rashy on and just rubbing.
You know what? That's something the surfers are really particular about doing themselves is waxing their own surfboards.
So, mate, get a good we've got to do it.
What about waxing them though? Are they happy for you to do some strip wax on their legs? You know,
leave that all to them. They can take care of themselves. But no, look, we're excited. I mean, the Rip Curl Pro has got so much history, and you know, it's a real pilgrimage to Torquay and the Surf Coast at Easter time, and there's a lot of excitement around town, and you know, it's a really big moment for professional surfing, you know, turning 50 years and starting in Australia and a lot of world champions coming down. It's going to be a celebration. So we thought, you know, part of it was this music, that we'd get a couple of great Australian iconic rock bands down there and have a good start to the season at Bells. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good afternoon and a fantastic event. We just need really good surf now.
Yes, for sure, for sure. All right, well, shuck us to you and shuck us to all involved. And thank you very much for having a chat to us today. I hope the event goes really well, and we'll see you there on Tuesday afternoon. Tim and Dave are broadcasting live as well. So, I mean, that's a huge lineup, isn't it? You've got your Wolf Mothers, you've got your Spider Bates, and you've got Tim and Dave. And you'll also have Andrew Stark, World Surf League, Asia Pacific President. Thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cheers. See the world's best surfers at Bells Beach from April 1 to 11. And that gig is on Tuesday, the 31st of March.
It's their radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
All right. I told you a couple of weeks ago about this comedian, and his name is Learnmore Jonassi, right?
Yes.
And he was on a podcast and he was talking about the Lion King.
Yep.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Let's go back to it anyway.
Dancing Gonyama Gitti Baba Ngonyama.
Read it again.
What does it mean?
It means,
look, there's a lion. Oh my God.
you're joking.
That
is not what that means. That is not what that means.
That's exactly what it means.
It means, look, there's a lion.
Oh my God.
It's a
look, lion. There's a lion. Oh my God. There's a lion.
Right, it's from this podcast called 154, okay? Yeah. And it went viral everywhere because everyone's like, what? That's amazing. That's funny as.
Yeah.
Right? But now what's happened is that because Disney have always told us that the meaning is all hail the king. We all bow in the presence of the king.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we all kind of knew because we were like, here he is. Yeah, right? Amazing. Yeah. You've seen the Lion King.
Yeah, I have seen the Lion King.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the guy who actually composed the chant, though, believes that that joke and the vision of that that's gone viral has damaged his reputation and is disrespecting his work. And he is now suing this comedian for $27 million.
Okay. Well, that's excessive. That's
$27 million. His lawyers are saying,
in the extreme.
Mate, it's crazy. His lawyers are saying in the complaint that one of the words literally translates to lion. It's used in the song, though, as a royal metaphor that involves kingship, and that this comedian, you know, intentionally misinterpreted an African vocal proclamation grounded in South African tradition. Yeah, no, I get it. But it's a joke.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I thought it was real, but it's still funny. Like, even if people are like, oh, that's not real, he was joking. It's like we, as normal punters, go, okay, move on with our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy reckons, the original guy says, he's insulting my work that has been inspirational to people around the world for 50 years, then insulting my culture. Now, this comedian has sent up a GoFundMe page. He said he's reaching out during one of the most difficult moments in my life.
Yeah.
He was recently hit with that $27 million lawsuit that we know about, and he said that trying to raise as much money as he can because this devastating legal battle that he follows.
He's got to pay for lawyers.
$20,000 plus has been raised already through a GoFundMe. GoFundMe, my God. But he said, I'm a passionate creator who never intended harm, but I now face overwhelming legal fees just to defend my rights to speak and tell jokes. Look, you and I, we're no lawyers. But we've looked into this before because there's kind of like a little caveat in the law-ish. Don't take my word for it. Basically means if you're joking and you're really sorry about it, you can kind of get away
with it. You get away with it, yeah. That's our understanding.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.